2020 may be over, but the changes it brought are not. Just look at the TV industry. The pandemic halted production for much of the year. A civil rights reckoning upended longstanding shows. And now blockbuster movies are coming to streaming services on the same day they hit movie theaters. NPR TV critic Eric Deggans joins us to discuss a revolutionary year. Welcome back, Eric.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with two year-end recommendations. You're a fan of The Mandalorian on Disney+. The Star Wars show just wrapped up its second season. What made it special?
Well, they resurrected, for me, the Star Wars franchise. They found fresh ideas in these characters that had kind of been kind of overlooked by the big movies. Chief among those characters is this character, the Mandalorian, a really amazing fighter who takes it upon himself to take this creature that seems to be from the same race as Yoda, the Jedi Master, and try to take this creature to another Jedi Knight who might be able to teach him how to use his powers. So the Mandalorian demonstrates to this Jedi that he actually has powers, and we have a clip. Let's listen to it.
Do you want this? That's right, take it. Come on. You can have it. Come on. Good job. Good job, kid. You see that? That's right. I knew you could do it. Very good.
He's formed a strong attachment to you. You cannot train him.
What?
So that's Rosario Dawson playing Ahsoka, a Jedi Knight. And they figured out another way to tell Star Wars stories that is really exciting. And so it's no wonder that Disney has announced about 10 new Star Wars shows for the Disney Plus streaming service, just continuing the work that they've done on The Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. You also liked HBO's I May Destroy You. What struck you about this show?
Well, the thing about this is a very different series. It's a drama, and it stars Michaela Cole as this woman who has a night out, and then she starts to have these flashbacks, and she begins to piece together the notion that her drink might have been spiked and she might have been sexually assaulted. She's not sure about it. And so we have a clip where she goes to the police and they have a bit of a conversation. Here it is.
Do you have any reason to believe that this friend of yours, Simon or DeRay, would spike your drinks or want to hurt you in any way?
No. There were another two. We didn't know them, so I don't know. It wouldn't have been Simon. He's my friend. He's one of my best friends. He really is. He wasn't even in Camden, I guess. He just left me somewhere, which is quite weird.
There's a sort of denial there, and of course the police have a sense that something's happening, so they're trying to draw it out of her. But, you know, this is just one part of a larger story that the series tells, where it really takes a look at the legacy of this kind of sexual trauma through generations. It talks about how people who are abusers can have their own history of abuse. There's messaging and storytelling about differences in race and class. It's on a lot of critics' best of lists, and people didn't get a chance to see it when it debuted, you know, earlier this year. They really should check it out.
Good recommendations. Let's discuss some of the broader trends in television. Social justice protests over the summer prompted the Paramount Network to cancel the show Cops, which has been on the air for over 3 decades. You and I have talked extensively about this.
Yep.
Another reality show following police officers, Live PD, also got canned. How significant is this? Is the industry really making moves to address racism?
Well, I think ultimately the answer to that question kind of remains to be seen. The reckoning over civil rights led a lot of people to look at TV shows that maybe they hadn't paid a lot of attention to before and sort of ask themselves, you know, what is this show really doing? Is it unfairly propping up police officers and making them look like they're always right in the field? Is it unfairly demonizing the poor and people of color, who are the people who are normally featured as suspects? So there was a lot of good reasons to have both of these shows get canceled. We just have to see what happens in the long run.
Before I let you go, streaming services, like, we're all into them right now. Big movies have debuted on them alongside movie theaters. Last weekend was Wonder Woman 1984. Have the lines between film and TV been totally erased by this pandemic?
I don't think they have, but I do think those boundaries have gotten murkier, right? I think people do still want to have a communal viewing experience. And once we get the pandemic under control, people will be eager to gather together again. But while that's not happening, people will get used to watching big budget movies in their home on the day that they're released. And I don't think there's any way to put that genie back in the bottle. So movie theaters will be diminished, but I think people still want that experience. So I think they'll still hang around.
I always enjoy our conversations, Eric. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year. May 2021 be so much better than what we had to endure in 2020.
Absolutely. That's NPR's TV critic, Eric Deggans.